All that we have is thine alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee. Thank you. What are some of the hardest things that you have faced or anticipate facing as you do life? The loss of a child, whether that child is young or old. Children are never supposed to die before their parents. We've experienced that reality here in our family at 11th and Buckeye. It may be that nearly every family has experienced that somehow, in some way. Or maybe it's the loss of a spouse to death or other reasons. Very possibly the loss of a spouse to addiction, incarceration, or some other type of separation. Maybe even worse than death, because that person is still around, but the relationship has been altered to a point of loss. You see, we all experience losses in our lives, a variety of losses, and those losses hurt. And why do I talk about that? Because losses hurt, and really the way that we find hope and life is through God's presence in our life, but then through each other as we share life together. Pam, thank you for your hugs. We need those. I need those. I need to know you care. We need to know we care about each other. In the next 5 weeks, I'm going to be talking about relationships. Relationships we find in the Bible. And talk about their value. The value that God places on relationships. And the importance they are in our lives and the lives of others. Sunday school this morning, we took the person Zacchaeus and looked at his life to see what Zacchaeus maybe had to teach us. And as I asked the kids, you know, well, what do you know about Zacchaeus? What do you see in Zacchaeus? What can we learn from Zacchaeus? And their responses were, well, he was a little man and he had to climb a tree to see Jesus. He was a tax collector. And you know, those things that they identified were things that they could see and get hold of. Okay? In our lives, there are lots of things that we see and can get hold of that God shows us in Scripture. And that's true. That's Zacchaeus as they looked at him. And I said, well, I think there are other things that we can learn from Zacchaeus as well. Things that maybe aren't seen but are true of Zacchaeus. And so we began to talk about those qualities in Zacchaeus that God had for us to see and to learn from. You know, Zacchaeus was a pretty intelligent guy. Well, why would you say that? Well, he planned ahead. He knew he had to get in a tree to see Jesus. Aha, that's true. And another quality of Zacchaeus was he planned ahead. So a character of Zacchaeus, something we learned from Scripture. I share that just to introduce this, to say that as we look at this Bible and at people in the Bible, you know, there's a lot more that we can learn than just that they're short or tall or strong or weak or ugly or beautiful. God has lots to teach us. And these are some things that I hope that we can learn as we look at some people of the Bible. This morning, it's Moses and Aaron. And some of the dynamics of relationship that God has for us to learn as we look at their lives and think about them. First of all, I want to just build the foundation of how God and why God feels about relationships the way that he does. God cares about relationships. God created Adam and Eve, or God created Adam, And then God observed in chapter 2, verse 18, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. It's not good for man to be alone. Interesting. It's not good for you or me to be alone very long. God saw that there needed to be a relationship. God knows that it's not good for us to live in isolation. Now, you know, some of you are experiencing that kind of reality because you've lost spouses. You know, I look down the road, Shirley, Carol, Myron, Nita, Tom, Russ. You've lost spouses. All of a sudden, your home is different than it was, you know, before your spouse passed away. You see, you're feeling the reality of loss of relationship. Marcy, your home is different. You've experienced that loss of relationship that God understands that we need and that is important to us. Relationships are important. God created us to be in relationship with him. The Genesis count seems to indicate that God would regularly spend time in the garden walking with Adam and Eve. It was something that they experienced. But when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They went and they hid because they felt the guilt of the sin that they had. And they knew that what had happened was that they had built a wall. It's one of the things we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning. What happens? You know, Jesus told Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to come to your house. And the people murmured, okay? They build a wall. So what happens when a wall is built? I said to the kids, I said, okay, on the other side of that wall, there are some people that are meeting in a class. Okay, what are they doing? I don't know. We can't see them. Aha. You see, what happens when relationships are broken by sin, walls go up and there's separation, and we don't know what's going on. And the kids, as we pursued that, understood and recognized that, okay, well, how do they know if Zacchaeus is really a bad guy or not? And I said, yeah, they built that wall, didn't they? They can't see. They don't know. You see, God understands relationships. He understands that sin separates people because walls go up when there's sin. And a wall went up between Adam and Eve and God at that point. And somehow that had to be dealt with. God cares about relationships, and sin creates walls. So God had to do something about that. And we know what he did. He sent his son. He sent his son Jesus to bring reconciliation so the walls would come down so that we could know God, so that we can know him for who he is, and that we can share in each other's lives as well. God is about restoring broken relationships. God cares about relationships. God understands the power of relationships. Genesis 2:18, God says to Adam, he says, I will make a helper suitable for him. Okay? God understands Adam's need to have someone to help him in a lot of ways. And a helper, not just anyone, but a helper that's suitable for him. God created Eve to be Adam's helper. God understands the need for relationships and the reality that we need relationships in the process of our living. God understands that we have special needs that require special relationships. Now, I just made a date with Russ this morning. Okay, Russ and I are going on a date tomorrow morning because I need Russ. Now, you know, this is a really important date. I don't know much about greyhounds and racing. And I want to. Who knows about greyhounds and racing among us? Russ does. So I asked Russ for a date, and he said, well, this week they're racing greyhounds. And I said, well, would you be willing to help me understand what this is all about? And he said, well, any day this week. And I said, well, okay, Russ, how about a date tomorrow morning? Do you want me to bring coffee or donuts or anything, Russ? No, okay. You see, we need relationships. We need to help each other. And sometimes we need to ask for help. We need, and we have, each of us have roles that we play, things that we know that make us suitable helpers for other people. And I think that's really an important thing to understand of what God knows and understands about relationships. We need suitable helpers, people who have gifts that are able to help us. As Margaret and I do premarriage counseling, one of the things that we attempt to discover in that process is whether or not the couples are suitable partners. In other words, do you have suitable gifts to offer to this other person? Margaret and I are very different. Okay? You may look at us and say, well, what do they have in common? Well, we don't have a lot in common other than our God and our love for each other, but and our house, our kids, yes. But God gave Margaret and I to each other because we are suitable helpers. Margaret has gifts and abilities and things to offer to me that I need. I have things that I can offer to Margaret that she needs. And so we are suitable helpers. Now we come to Moses and Aaron. God's calling Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Moses doesn't want to do it. And so Moses is making excuses in an attempt to get God to say, okay, I'll go get somebody else to do this job. One of the things I want to highlight here is this. When God wants us to do something, he'll push. And he continues to ask even when we push back. Okay? So, if ever you come to the point in your life where, you know, it seems like there's something that you're supposed to do, and you may say, you may feel like, oh, God wants me to do this, but I really don't want to. God's going to keep pushing, even when we push back. Now, there may be times, okay, there may be times when God says, okay, I'm done pushing. I'm not gonna push anymore. I'll ask somebody else to do it. You know, if we find ourselves in a place where God stops pushing us, where we have said no so long that God says, okay, we're liable to miss something very, very special. We're going to miss seeing God make that staff a snake and then make it a rod again. We're going to miss seeing God's hand come and touch our lives and do something special with us. So as we experience God pushing us, you know, we need to be careful to pray a lot. And we need to be careful, unlike Moses, to say, okay, God, maybe. Or like Moses, okay. Moses said, oh, God, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. You know, it's interesting. Have you ever thought about God's response to Moses? You know, in verse 14, it says this, the Lord's anger burned against Moses. You think God ever gets angry with us? I think there are times God gets angry with us. We'll maybe talk more about that here after a bit in terms of relationships. But yeah, God gets angry with us. He got angry with Moses. God was not pleased that Moses did not trust him to be able to help him speak when he needed to speak. Even though God showed him with the snake and with the hand of leprosy, Moses didn't trust God enough to say yes. And that made God upset. God was angry with Moses as a result of that. However, you know, God said, okay, how about I give you a partner? How about your brother Aaron? And here it is. God knows we need to be in relationship. God knows we need each other. God understood, even though he is angry with Moses, but God understood what Moses was saying. And that says something else to us. God understands us, folks. He knows when we're hurting. He knows when we feel inadequate. He knows when we need him, or maybe we need someone else to come alongside us. God understands that. God understands our weaknesses, but also God understands the potential power that is in us and the reality that as he brings someone alongside of us, that power can be realized in some incredible ways. You know, it would be fun to just take a little time and to have you maybe talk about some of the relationships that God has allowed you to be in, where God has asked you to do something and given you someone to come alongside you to do it, and to hear some of your stories. Because I know we'd hear stories that are incredible miracles of what God has done through you as he placed you in partnership with someone else. How about your brother Aaron, the Levite? One of the lessons I want us to see as we move through these messages is that God does bring people alongside of us as helpers. Even as I talked about Russ, I think of Barth. Where'd Barth come from? Yeah, I know, he came from his mother. Well, he came from Denver to Abilene. How did he get to Abilene? Well, by God's working. Why did he come to Abilene? Well, because God wanted him here in this church. Do you believe that? I want to say to you, yes, that's true. It's just like God brought Aaron into Moses' life to help him. Barth has been here for a lot of years. Barth sits back there. I can just see his eyes above the, you know, he's not sitting out here with us. He's a helper. He's a helper here in this place for us. We thank God for that. What is it that we need help with? Well, we need help with a lot of things. What did Moses need help with? He needed help with courage. He needed courage to be able to say, okay, God, let's go. He needed to have courage to believe that God would speak to him and that as he spoke to Aaron, that between he and Aaron, they could do what God wanted them to do. Moses needed courage. Very often, that is one of the things that we need more than anything else, is the courage to stand, the courage to do what God wants us to do, what he asks us to do, whatever that may be. And guess what? Oftentimes, the courage that we finally realize comes when someone comes alongside of us and says, you can do this. I've started reading a new series of books that begin in the Revolutionary War period. And I told Margaret yesterday, I'm not liking them very much, but I can't put them down. I'm not liking them very much because they're really sad. And the story, the storyline in the one that I just finished is of a young man who had lots of bad things happen to him. He was living in the home of his uncle and his aunt. The aunt hated him and was all the time telling him how no good he was, how worthless he was, telling him that your parents were this way and you're like that too. You're never going to amount to anything. You're worthless. She kept telling him and telling him and telling him. His uncle believed in him, though, and believed he had something to offer. Got him into a place where he experienced some positive reality to his life. And he came out of that experience with some hope, but then things went downhill again. And he just, you know, he cried a lot. You know, he felt worthless. He felt like he could do nothing. He'd never accomplish anything. He had a cousin that he and his cousin, because of circumstances, had to leave their home. They left their home and were running away. And he was 14 and his cousin was 10. They walked from Boston to St. Louis in an attempt to find a place where they could feel safe and comfortable. In the process of that, some really bad things happened. This little girl, his cousin, was kidnapped and finally sold to trappers, who finally sold her to Indians, of whom she became the property of. You know, he had lost her. He felt responsible for her. He got to the place where he was ready to give up. And there was a man who was a trapper who had lost his partner, who had watched this young boy, 14-year-old boy, coming into St. Louis, and had watched him do some things that, you know, were pretty amazing for a 14-year-old boy. And yet this 14-year-old boy felt like he was nothing. Well, this older man, this huge man, you know, took this boy and he said, I need a partner, and on what I've seen in you, I'd like to have you as my partner. Well, this young man, this boy, just couldn't believe that he had anything to offer to this man. And so the man told him his story and the things that had happened to him, and said, you know, what's happened to me? You know, just look at it. They're worse than what's happened to you. And I've still managed to live. And I'm doing okay, and you can too. And I still want you to be my partner. And this trapper left, and he said, yo, I know you've told me no now, and you don't think that you want to do that, but if you want to, come to my motel. And the boy thought about that, and there was someone on his journey from Boston to St. Louis. There was a woman who gave him a Bible that had, you know, this little thing here stuck in it, marking a spot. This young man hadn't read that Bible at all. This young man went back to his room, you know, dejected, thinking, you know, I'm worthless. I'm gonna give up. And he said, well, you know, he took that Bible and he slipped it open where that little piece of felt was. And the scripture talked about the fact that I, God, am going to find the lost. I, God, am going to renew and restore life to the lost. And this boy thought, I'm lost. I'm worthless. Is that possible? My cousin is lost. I don't know where she is. But we think she may have been sold, you know, to the Indians. Is it possible? And God used that scripture to help him get up and go and say, I'll go with you and be your partner. It's a little like a Moses and Aaron story. You know, this young man felt like Moses. He felt like, I can't do anything. This other man had something to offer and offered it. Well, the next book's going to be all about them leaving St. Louis. And so, you know, that's the next one I have to look forward to. The epilogue talked about the girl as she is a captive in this Indian village. And so I already know that she's a captive and she's, you know, she's been sold to this Indian brave and is living in his house now. But the world understands and knows the power of relationship. God knows the power of relationship. God understood Moses' weakness, and God gave Aaron to Moses. You see, God knows we need each other. In some instances, it's marriage relationships. Like for Margaret and me. You know, if Margaret were gone, you know, I'd stumble a lot. I'd fall a lot. Because Margaret does a lot for me that I need and I've not done. And some of you know the reality of that. You know how that's worked. God gave Aaron to Moses. And Moses and Aaron followed after God. Now, was that relationship easy? Relationships aren't easy. They aren't simple. What do you remember about Moses and Aaron? When Moses went up the mountain and was there for 40 days and nights, what happened? You remember? There was a party, that's right. The Israelites grumbled. They said, well, you know, God should have just left us in Egypt. This man, Moses, isn't coming back. He's dead. You know, God isn't really our God. Aaron, make us an idol to worship. Ha! So what did Aaron do? He made the idol. Moses came down the mountain. Who's mad now? Moses is mad, isn't he? God was mad with Moses earlier. He was angry with Moses. Okay? God's setting the stage for Moses' understanding about relationships and when people fail. Aaron failed Moses. Moses was mad. What did he do? He threw down the tablets of stone, broke them. He screamed at Aaron. Well, I think he probably did. But he didn't throw away the relationship. Okay? You know, one of the things that we need to see as we walk through this series of messages is how important relationships are to God and what we need to do when bad things happen in relationships. Okay? What we need to do when bad things happen in relationships. This was something bad. Aaron was to be Moses' helper. He failed him. He screwed up big time. It wasn't just little, it was huge. But Moses didn't throw him out. Moses restored that relationship and said, Aaron, you and I are here for a purpose of what God has for us. You know, we're gonna figure this out. We're going to move on. And they did. But we need to understand that relationships aren't easy. It takes work. It takes commitment. It takes a desire to do what God wants for us. Well, let me wrap it up. What should we take from this message as a kind of a foundational start to our talking about relationships? Number one, God cares about relationships. Number two, God knows we need relationships to help us live in this world. Nita, your family has been with you, haven't they? They came from Mississippi or wherever they live. But for those of you who aren't here when Nita gets here in the mornings, you know how she gets here? Either her son Dale or her daughter-in-law, Jackie, bring her to church. Nita's husband isn't here anymore. But she still needs people. She needs relationships. Her family's doing that for her. Thank the Lord. Her family's maybe giving her the courage to be here. She's maybe, you know, if she didn't have them, she might not call Barth like Shirley does. Think about it. It's true, isn't it? We need each other, and God knows that. God knows the fact that we all sin and fail. Folks, yo, it's not just Aaron. It's me. It's you. I shared with you how I failed a couple months ago when I took that fish that I snagged, and I really legally shouldn't have done that. You know, to me, I sinned. We all sin, we all fail. But God is a God of grace and mercy and love. And God, even when we fail miserably, comes alongside us, forgives us, and He wants to restore us into relationship with Him, and He wants us to restore us into relationships with each other. See, yeah, our relationship with God's crucial. It's the most important thing in all of life. But the church is important, folks. Each one of you who are here, you are important to me. We're important to each other. We need each other. God understands and knows that, and God gives us each other because He knows we need each other. Moses and Aaron led the nation of Israel through very difficult times. How do you walk through hard times? Let me tell you, it's easiest when you have someone walking with you. You know that. We know that. So folks, keep working at building those relationships. I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning with Russ. He's going to teach me some stuff I don't know now. And I'm thankful for Russ for being here. If you weren't here, Russ, I wouldn't be able to ask you. Or I'd probably be able to, but I wouldn't. But you're here. You're making yourself available. That's what we do. We make ourselves available for relationship in people's lives because God has come and made Himself available to us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word, for the Bible. Thank you for everything you show us in the scriptures. Lord, there's so much more than just the obvious. Just the fact that that staff that Moses threw down turned to a snake and then turned back to a staff. There are all of those things that we need to know about your love, even when we fail. Even when Moses failed you, you loved him. You wouldn't let him go into the promised land, but you loved him and you used him. And you brought Aaron alongside of him. Lord, you do the same for us. Thank you. Thank you. Let us not become discouraged. Let us stand with each other. May we realize miracles, powerful miracles, of your working in us and through us to make a difference in our world. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.